Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Bhakti Vaibhava ki
jai.
Granth Sarov Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Jai Giridhar Maharaj ki
jai.
Jai Nitai Goprema. Okay, so what we'll do, we'll begin the next section of the Bhagavad Gita, even though the exam is coming next Monday. Still, we'll begin the next section of the Bhagavad Gita and the next pastime. Wait for everyone to get settled, otherwise you can't. Need a bunch of fun. Next Monday, so that'll be on chapters 13-23. So tonight we'll begin the next section, of the Bhagavad Gita, which will more or less, I think, take us to from chapter 24 to chapter 31, which is the end of the fourth canto. So it looks like we'll go through all the way. We'll have one more exam on the fourth canto by the looks of it, because there's eight more chapters to go. And there's really only two related pastimes within these next two sections. So the next section which we'll cover is the pastime of Paranjana, which is spoken of by Narad Muni, one of the descendants of Prithu Maharaj. Now the next chapter is 24, but if you read in Burujan Prabhu's Unveiling His Lotus Feet, then he points out that chapter 24 is the song of Lord Shiva, and this song is specifically meditated upon by the Prachetas. The Prachetas are descendants of Prithu Maharaj, of Dhruva Maharaj, of Swayambhu's mother in this dynasty. So the Prachetas, pastime is told in the final two chapters of the fourth canto, chapter 30 and 31. So what we'll do, as Gurujan Prabhu, as he arranges in Surrender Unto Me, Unveiling His Lotus Feet, then as he arranges there, then he goes over chapter 24, goes to chapter 25, and then we'll go from chapter 25 to chapter 29, and then we'll go back to chapter 24. This is radical teaching here in the Bhagavad Gita. We'll go back to chapter 24, read that chapter, and then we'll go to chapter 30 and 31 and finish this section. It's all connected, but the Prachetas specifically, they perform their austerities after hearing about the song of Lord Shiva, which is in chapter 24. So there's a direct connection. So this may make it easy to connect the two. So tonight we'll begin from chapter 25. So if you have the large volume of the Bhagavad Gita, then you'll have those chapters. If you have the small volume, then you may not have chapter 25 with you, so you may have to share with someone. So we'll go from chapter 25. We'll begin verse 3. The first two verses speak of the Prachetas. So we'll skip over those two verses. We'll go from verse 3 to 10 tonight, and then next week we'll go back to the we'll go to the exam and then continue after that. Any points? Questions? up until this point.
Yeah. When do you go to India?
December.
Have a nice trip. How long do you go?
4 days.
But it will be hot. It will be hot. Don't need too many sweets. Otherwise boils will come. Oh, the Buddha, okay. Jagannath, Ram, and the Buddha Lila, our favorite lake people. Not always, but sometimes. Okay. I'll explain what's happening. It's important to understand. I'm just going to say it very briefly, like that. But we're going to finish now from chapters 24 to 31, which is the end of the. These are the last four chapters, sorry, last eight chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. So we're going to cover it all tonight. Because you came in later, not really. So we're going from, we've just finished those last chapters, but we're going to go to chapter 25. We're skipping over chapter 24. We're going to chapter 25, going through, and then when we get to chapter 30, then we'll go back and do chapter 24 and then go to 30 and 31. And if you read in Unveiling His Lotus Feet, you'll see the connection with him there, in terms of the flow of the Bible. Okay. So we'll begin from text number 3. So in chapter 24, just to connect the entire pastime, in chapter 24 there is the description of the descendants of Sridhamara. This is a very powerful dynasty which has come down through many generations. Started with Swayambhu Manu, then there was the five children of Swayambhu Manu, with Kanapad, Priyavrata, and the sisters, Devahuti, Akuti, and Prasuti. And then it describes, it went through the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, and then from Dhruva Maharaj, then we went down through the dynasty, so we got to Prithu Maharaj. And now from Prithu Maharaj is being further delineated, the dynasty. Then we come to the Prakasas, who are very powerful princes, who perform austerities after being inspired by Lord Shiva. So their pastime will be told at the very end of the fourth canto, after they hear the song of Lord Shiva, which is in chapter 24. So now we'll begin with chapter 25. And we'll hear about the father of the Prakasas and about how he becomes preacher by Narad Muni. So he will become the great. This is the story of Paranjana. So this story will go now for the next six chapters or so, five chapters. While the princes were undergoing severe austerities in the water, their father was performing different types of fruitive activities. At this time, the great saint Narada, master and teacher of all spiritual life, became very compassionate upon the king and decided to instruct him about spiritual life. Okay. We're going to chapter 25. Chapter 25, text 3. Is everyone on the right page? Okay, Prem Dhan, can you read this?
As pointed out by the Lord, the Bhagavan Sarasvati Thakur, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, capable of merging into the Brahman Asarjan, is just like going to hell. He is known as a state that relation to the upper planetary system for the enjoyment of human delight is just so much Santa Gauriya. It means that the devotee does not keep any focus on the ultimate goal of the Karmic Sankhyaya. The ultimate goal of Karmic is promotion to the heavenly kingdom, and the ultimate goal of Jnanis is merging into Brahman Upalgan. Of course, the Jnanis are superior to the Karmic, as informed by Lord Chaitanya. Koti Kar Kamasya Made Ekar Jnani Rishta. One Jnani or impersonalist is better than many thousand of future actors. taken a telegram with a message in 1947. Therefore, a devotee never enters upon the path of karma or elevation of spiritual activities. Arahant when he took compassion upon the king, when he saw the king engaged in spiritual activities. In comparison to the mundane nature, those who are trying to communicate to the higher penetration by performing yajna are undoubtedly superior. In pure devotional service, however, both karma and yajna are considered rewarding teachers of illusory energy.
Okay, so what are the points in this opening?
What's the transition?
Of?
Of this verse. The transition.
Oh, translation. Did I read it?
You read it.
Okay. While the princes were undergoing severe austerities in the water, their father was performing different types of fruitive activities. At this time, the great sage Narada, master and teacher of all spiritual life, became very compassionate upon the king and decided to instruct him about spiritual life. The king's name is Prachina Bahisha. Yeah. So he'll be spoken about in this section. This section is the story of King Paranjana. So we'll learn about that in the next few verses later. So any points in the opening paragraph? He's one of the descendants. If you go back into chapter 24, it describes the descendants coming down, and then he's in the line.
And these children are
Pratekas. Yeah.
So Pratekas is a generic name for all the children.
Yeah. They've been given this title, the Pratekas. There's 10 of them, 10 princes, saintly Rajasis, saintly kings. Who became renounced and they perfected their life after hearing from Lord Shiva. Their father was just being preached to by Narada.
Is that really a different meaning?
I haven't discovered it yet, but as we read through, Prabhupada may explain it. He explains Paranjana in this section. So Prachetas, I haven't seen the literal translation yet, but it may be there. So we'll have a look as we go through. Yeah, there's that pastime where the 10,000
children, then Narada only preaches to them, then they did not get
the king. Are they projected?
No.
There were some Hiranyakshwas and all the
kings.
Yeah, they had another name as well. I don't think it's projected, but there's another name for those particular personalities, but I just can't remember what their name is. Yeah, there's another name for it. We'll see as we go through the Bhagavad Gita. At this point in time, I'm trying to pick up the philosophical thread, and it becomes very taxing to remember all the so many personalities appearing. Like that, so it's hard to it takes a little bit of time to get a grip on who's who and what. Like I'm trying to, at the moment, trying to keep the philosophy intact like that. And then gradually we'll pick up all the genealogical table and everything as we go.
Narada Muni is the spiritual master of all the devotees. And he is acting as a living creature. So Bhagavatam time and again to report such a devoted devotees into the position to give us the message. How about the distinction of Dharma is one spiritual master?
Yeah, Prabhupada makes this point again in this section. So, in this opening paragraph, then it is described by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur was the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who was the brother of Vyenkata Bhatta. Mm-hmm. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, and he stayed with Vyenkata Bhatta and Prabodhananda Saraswati, who was his brother, and he gave them association and he preached to them.
So Prabodhananda Saraswati, he went and resided in Vrindavan. And his samadhi is in Vrindavan, just near the Krishna Kaliya tree. Mm-hmm. You might have been to the Krishna Kaliya tree near the Jamuna, near the old Jamuna bed. Now his samadhi is just behind there. Prabodhananda Saraswati, he wrote the Vrindavan Mahimamrita, which is a very famous book glorifying all about Vrindavan. And in the spiritual world, he is, I believe, Tungavidya, Gopi. He's one of the eight Ashwasakis, or the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna. If you go to Mayapur, and you see the Ashwasakis on the altar, then on the far, our far left, then that's Tungavidya, Gopi. Okay. So this is Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada often quotes him. And for Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he says that for a devotee, the gold of the Gyanis and the Kamis, it is insignificant. A devotee has no attraction to the gold of the Kamis or the Gyanis. Right? Because what do the Kamis desire? Ultimately sense gratification. And the pinnacle of sense gratification in the material world is in Swagamoka. So the Kamis, they're topmost desire is to go to Swagaloka. Just like on this earthly planet, the topmost desire of the Kamis or the materialists is to go to some tropical destination. They want to go to Tahiti or to Bali or to Hawaii or
Miami
or wherever it is. Okay. So they want to go to these different places. It's interesting though, because a lot of those tropical places are all gone through a lot of problems recently. Is it Jamaica's going through a big problem at the moment? And Haiti had a big problem at the moment. Fiji had a big problem. And even Fiji is not exempt from the problems like that. So all the problems are in these very beautiful places. So the Kamis, they desire to go to Swaga. Swaga means heavenly planets, and the sense gratification is far beyond what you can get here on earth, far far beyond what you can experience on earth, like that. So this is like the topmost, so this is their goal. But Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he says this is phantasmagoria. Phantasmagoria means it is like, he says, it is like flowers growing in the sky. When did you ever see flowers growing in the sky? It does not exist. It does not exist. So someone imagines, oh, flowers are growing in the sky, like in the clouds, and the flowers are growing there. Phantasmagoria. That's simply dreams. So for the Kamis, he says, everything they desire is just a dream. All the sense gratification in this world is just a dream. It is not real. There's no actual pleasure there. And then he says that the topmost goal of the Jnanis is to merge into Brahma Jyoti. So they want to merge into the Brahma Jyoti. But he said, for the devotees, this is unpalatable. Even Hanuman, you read in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion, Hanuman is offered benediction by Lord Ramachandra. He says, I will give you mukti. At the end of the Battle of Lanka, when everyone returns to Ayodhya, and Ramachandra is giving benediction, he says, then I will give you mukti. And Hanuman says that if mukti means I will merge into you and I will lose the opportunity to serve you, then to me that is worse than hell. So for a devotee, he has no attraction to the goal. This is like the ultimate goal, the topmost thing for the Gyani or the topmost thing for the Kami. The devotee has no attraction to those things. The devotee thinks they are useless. So this is the preaching of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. He says that everything in this world is useless. Only one thing is important. What is that? Pleasure of Krishna. Only one thing is important. Right? To reside in Vrindavan. He writes the whole Vrindavan Mahimamrita. and he describes the glories of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Mm-hmm. So whether one can physically, as Rupa Goswami says, whether you physically reside there or in your mind, in your consciousness reside there, the ultimate goal for the devotee is to reside in Vrindavan. Okay. Whether we are physically there or we're not there physically, but in our consciousness we should always be in Vrindavan. That is the ultimate goal for the devotee. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says in Vrindavan Nihingam Rita, if someone says to me I should leave Vrindavan, I will cut out their tongue. You're so attached to Vrindavan. He says, someone says to me I should leave Vrindavan, he said, I will cut out their tongue. Not that. So this is what it means to be a devotee. It means that one should be fixed in one's consciousness in Vrindavan. That is Krishna consciousness. That is the goal of the devotee. So one is in Vrindavan, like Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is, then the topmost thing for the Gami, the topmost thing for the Kami, it is insignificant. It has no attraction. Because he is fixed in consciousness in Vrindavan. He also wrote books glorifying Radharani. Radha Rasa Shuddha Niti. He gives pure scriptures just glorifying Srimati Radharani. So these are the kind of books that Prabodhananda Saraswati wrote. So for one who is fixed in Vrindavan consciousness, in spiritual consciousness, he has no attraction to the material world. Even the topmost things in the material world are insignificant to the devotee. Any points?
What's the name of the book?
Radha Rasa Shuddha Niti. Radha Rasa Shuddha Niti.
According to Prabhupada Maharaj was addressing for Bhakti Lakshya on Saturday, and he was reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he mentioned a point. I forgot the name of his personality. His name is Sam Ramdas, but he accompanied Raghunath Bhatt Gokami on a yatra, apparently from Navadvip to Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he carried all of Raghunath Bhatt Gokami's luggage, everything, and he served him very nicely. But when he reached, and he was also apparently thanking Lord Ramakrishna, but when he reached, when Mahaprabhu saw him, he ignored him completely. He didn't give much respect to him, though he was serving Ramana Bhattacharya. Even because Mahaprabhu is Paramatma, so he knew his heart that the goal of his sadhana was that he wanted to merge with Lord Ramakrishna, and that's why he was completely ignored, despite his humility and service attitude.
What is his name for Ramdas? Ramdas,
what? Something.
Ramdas,
something else.
Is there a past time in Chaitanya?
So speaking from myself, if I see that devotees are limited to the and they prefer to serve the Lord rather than enjoying the fruits of their karma or maybe doing some yajnas and merging with their phalyas, for me it looks like they are being sent. But at the same time, I also feel from their level they take it naturally rather than as a sacrifice. Because I don't have that level of attraction, but I see going to heaven is much better than serving the Lord. So for me it looks like they are doing big sacrifice. Like I think that I also know once you reach that level, that's like it is natural.
So what is your point, Prima Dog?
The point is, it's not a sacrifice what they do by not going to heaven. I think they enjoy going to serving the Lord.
I still don't understand what you're saying.
If we talk to someone saying, okay, there is an opportunity to serve God or go to heaven, and if a person has got a devotee, he obviously will go to heaven because he wants to enjoy. But when we see the great devotees, they prefer to serve the Lord. So for me, it's an act of sacrifice. They just let it go with the pleasures of heaven. But it's not.
And Lord Brahma Swami. I think it would depend on the particular Lord Brahma who is there, because sometimes Lord Brahma is a devotee and sometimes he's a jnani. So it would depend on who is there, I think. Any other point? Narad Muni asked, King, Prachina Bahisha, my dear King, what do you desire to achieve by performing these fruitive activities? The chief aim of life is to get rid of all miseries and enjoy happiness. But these two things cannot be realized by fruitive activities. Yogeshwara.
In this material world, there is a great illusion to cover real intelligence. A man in the mode of passion wants to work very hard to derive some benefit, but he does not know that time will never follow him to enjoy any enjoyment. Compared with the work one expends, the gain is not so profitable. Even if it is profitable, it is not without its distresses. If a man is not born rich, and if he wants to purchase a house, car, and other material things, he has to work hard day and night for many years in order to possess them. Such happiness is not attained without undergoing some distress. Actually, pure happiness cannot be had within this material world. But if we wish to enjoy something, we must suffer for something else. On the whole, suffering is the nature of this material world, and whatever enjoyment we are trying to achieve is simply illusion. After all, we have to suffer the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death. We may discover many fine medicines, but it is not possible to stop the suffering from the disease or death. Actually, medicine is not the contracting agent for either disease or death. On the whole, there is no happiness in this material world, but an illusion person works very hard for the so-called happiness. Indeed, this process of working hard is actually taken for happiness. This is called illusion. Therefore, Narada Muni asked King Prachina Bhadisha, what he desires to attain by performing so many costly sacrifices. Even if one attains a heavenly planet, he cannot avoid the distress of birth, old age, disease, and death. Someone may argue that even devotees may have to undergo many distresses in executing austerities and penances connected with devotional service. Of course, for the neophytes, the routine of devotional service may be very painful, but at least they have the hope that they will be able to avoid all kinds of distresses and achieve the highest perfectional state of happiness. For the common journey, there is no such hope. But even if they are prompted to the highest planet position, they are not guaranteed freedom from miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death. Even Lord Brahma, who is situated in the highest planet system, Brahmano, he has to die. Lord Brahma's birth and death may be different from an ordinary man, but in the world he cannot avoid the stress of birth, old age, disease, and death. If one is at all serious about attaining liberation from the miseries of, he must take devotional service first. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma chame divyam, evam yo veti tattvaha, jaksa deham punat karma, neiti mam eti sorachu. One who knows the central nature of appearance and activity does not, upon leaving the body, take birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Thus, after attaining full Krishna consciousness, the devotee does not return to the material world after death. He goes back home, back to Godhead. This is the perfect state of happiness, unblemished by any trace of distress.
So, what do you think?
Wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are the points?
The main thing what Prabhupada is saying, there is always distress in the past. Birth, old age, disease, and death. Even if you accomplish everything of the material world, still you have to suffer It is just the hard work. The Prabhupada gives the example of you want to buy car, house, this, that. So if you want, but there's those things that work very hard. And the distress is always there at the end. So the best way is to get out of the material world quickest by doing the ocean. It's a
good summary.
Dukhalan Ashashwara. So Dukhalan is a sequel to misery that always exists. And even if somebody is relatively happy with the material world, that's the misery Ashashwara.
Prabhupada said that. Once you go to the marketplace where they're selling Krishna anxiety and buy as much as one can, one should take as much anxiety for Krishna as one can, and then one will be ecstatic from this anxiety for Krishna. Any other points?
The devotees and the families, they will be doing the same thing. They may look as devotees are working very hard to, and the families are working very hard to, but the destination itself for the devotees is rewarding, whereas they are working hard day and night, like donkeys, and getting something which is probably not comparable to what the devotees are receiving in the end.
Yeah, that's the point. So Prabhupada saying in the very first paragraph that the nature of material life is that in order to enjoy, one has to work very, very hard. And we see, especially now in the modern world, that people are working very hard to enjoy. But the nature of the situation that we find in the material world is, although they work very, very hard, hardly there is any time to enjoy. Practically they work so hard that then they have the weekend off. Half the weekend, probably most people are sleeping just to recover, and then you have a little bit of time to so-called enjoy. So actually, where is the enjoyment? It's very limited. Which is greater, the suffering or the austerity you have to perform to get your so-called enjoyment, or the enjoyment? There is far more hardship than there is enjoyment. So we see this is the situation of the material world, and then as Prabhupada further explains, then actually even the enjoyment is not actually really enjoyment. Yeah? So you work so hard and you get a little bit of enjoyment, and that's not so enjoyable anyway. So then what do you actually attain? So this is the reality of the material world. Prabhupada says later in the Bhagavatam, he says one must develop a healthy sense of pessimism towards the material world. It's not, sometimes people think that devotees are pessimistic. We are pessimistic, but the pessimism for the material world is balanced. In the sense that devotee may be pessimistic about material life, but material life is not so wonderful. So sometimes the people think, oh, the Hare Krishna devotees are very pessimistic about the material world, but the nature of the material world is that it is not so good anyway. Just like a few weeks back, then they invited me to go to one, Jagannath Brahmaprabhu invited me to come to one home program, and then we asked the question to all the people there. There was a few non-devotees there, mostly devotees. So then I asked the question, who likes their job? The only people who put up their hand was the non-devotees. There was a few of them there, and they all put up their hand, yeah, we like our job. They were being honest and sincere. But none of the devotees put up their hand. So this is because when Krishna sees that you are trying to approach him, then he arranges for you to become materially miserable. Otherwise it would be difficult for you to approach him. So therefore he makes your life somewhat materially miserable so that you'll become more detached from the material energy. So it will be easier for you to become attached to Krishna. So Krishna will make this arrangement for you. So the non-devotees, they work very hard, but actually the enjoyment is very little anyway. So devotees, we should develop this sense of pessimism towards the material world, so that we do not become enamored or allured by them. Otherwise we'll think that the materialist has something that we do not. And then we'll aspire to attain what they have also. We'll think, oh no, their life is actually good. I should also follow what they follow. And then, Prabhupada says at the very end, that for the non-devotees, they work very hard, and what is their final destination? After all their hard work, what do they get?
Anxiety,
and then ultimately? They die. So you work so hard, and then what happens? You're dead. So then what can you enjoy? You can't enjoy anything, that's the reality. Whereas for the devotees, they put in the same amount of hard work. The non-devotees are performing austerity, tapasya, to get what they desire. And we're also performing austerity or tapasya to get what we desire. Right? But the difference is, that Prabhupada says, for the devotee there is no death. And we saw that in the past time with Dhruva Maharaj, which we just finished. When he died, he stepped on the head of death and entered into the Pushpa-Vimana. So there is no death for the devotees. So Prabhupada said there is no death. Devotees should not die. So the non-devotees, death is very unattractive. But as Radhanath Swami said, I was in Chalpati in Mumbai about 10 years ago, and it was Maharaj's birthday. Not his Vyasa Puja, but his birthday. So they had a birthday party for Radhanath Swami, so I went to the birthday party. It was just a program. Maharaj went to Kirtan. And then Maharaj spoke a little, and he said, everyone in this world is born to die. Because on the birthday, everyone says, happy birthday. And he said, we are born to die. That's the reality. That's all we're doing here. We're just traveling towards death. That's where it all ends up. So then he said, for the non-devotees, death is not attractive. But he said, for the devotees, death is all attractive. Because it means you will once again meet Krishna. If you're a serious devotee in this lifetime, you will meet Krishna at the end of this lifetime. If you're serious. What does serious mean? Prabhupada says you must follow four regulative principles. You must chant 16 attentive rounds. If you do that, then you will see Krishna at the end of this life. Why? Because Prabhupada said you would. And Krishna is bound to fulfill the desire of his pure devotees. So Srila Prabhupada said you have to become 70% perfect. So what does 70% mean? You work it out, one of you. But that's what you have to come to. So it means you have to be very serious as a devotee. If you're serious, then you will see Krishna at the end of this life. Even though there's so much lacking, that Lord Chaitanya will cover all of that and he will. So this is the process. The non-devotees work hard, they get nothing. Right? We work hard, we get Krishna. So work hard, give everything in this one lifetime. Just give everything in this one lifetime to Krishna, to Prabhupada, and then see what happens. Any points?
For devotees as well as non-devotees, death comes. But for everybody, there is rising and setting of itself. We are one step closer to death. But for non-devotees, it means end of life. And for devotees, it means beginning of eternal life.
Yeah, that's my favorite chapter in the second canto.
Second canto?
I
don't know.
Yeah. Second canto.
Second canto, first chapter.
Yeah, first chapter. First three chapters of the second canto are very nice. Yeah,
So in Bhakti Shastri, Guru Mahārāj told us that it like, if we are following the order of a spiritual master, so we are doing a devotional service, and then we are working in offices, like if the order of the spiritual master will take care of your family. So working in the offices, in one sense, it's like you are taking care of your family. And if you see it in Varnashram system also, we have to work to maintain our family. So why there is a mentality like you don't want to work in offices? Personally, I have this mentality, I know. So this mentality is coming from?
Because it's not very good. Meaning that, not that it's not very good, but it's not very pleasant. Do you like being in an office all day?
Again, if it's the order of the spiritual master for me.
So if you see it like that, then you'll be in transcendental bliss. Or you'll be watching the clock and hoping that you can get out of there so you can do something that you enjoy more directly for Krishna. In devotees, it means in the material world we have so many material responsibilities that we have to follow. But because we're always connecting those things to Krishna, then the devotee remains blissful. Just like at the farm, since January, so we've been painting the temple building on the outside and also on the inside, and it's taking forever. It feels like taking forever. Now, I don't enjoy painting from a material point of view. Right? I enjoy teaching, you know, Bhagavatam, because I enjoy that. Thing of painting, I don't enjoy it. But because we're doing it for Krishna, then we feel blissful. Because we're doing it for Krishna. Like that. So if you're doing these material responsibilities for Krishna, the service of Guru and Krishna, then you'll feel some, that will get you through it. But in your heart, you should be feeling more and more that you just want to fully surrender. You want to come to the point of full surrender, which means then you'll fully dedicate yourself to preaching and these kind of activities. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur had big positions, right? He had a very responsible job. But the moment work finished at 5 o'clock, he went home and then he started doing his translation works and preaching work and absorbed himself, right? And then, when it came time to retire, then he said, now I will go to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a dream and said, no, I want you to go to Mayapur and discover the yoga pit. He said, I have service for you to do. Like that. So devotees should be feeling like that. We just want to get to the point where we can fully surrender.
So this mentality is not a correct for a devotee that I'm suffering myself.
That's how I would be feeling if I was working in your office. I would be feeling like that. So it's not totally wrong. But at the same time, you should also be feeling that you're connecting it to Krishna, and that will keep you, give you some life. Does that answer your question, or does that confuse you more? Okay. Any other point?
Yes. As you mentioned, material energy is always punishing us. We don't realize. For example, those who are eating red meat, it has been found that those who are eating red meat more than 5 times in a week, they suffer with age-related macular degeneration. Means degeneration of the retina. Ultimately they become blind. They don't realize. They think they are enjoying meat and they are so addicted they can't do without it. But ultimately, even in this material world, slowly they are getting blinder and blinder. So that's a very important teaching point for us to tell the non-devotees, don't eat meat. It is destroying your health completely.
Okay. So we'll read the next verse. The king replied, O great soul, Narada, my intelligence is entangled in fruitive activities, therefore I did not know the ultimate goal of life. Kindly instruct me in pure knowledge so that I can get out of the entanglement of fruitive activities. Where's the book? Amal, you can read. Read the second and third paragraph.
talking to his eminent respect and frankly asked Narayan, how he could get out of this Karma Bandhan posture and entangled in his activities. This is actually the phase of knowledge indicated in the first verse of Vedanta, Atitabram Vidyasa. Actually reaches a platform of frustration and attempt to discharge Karma Bandhan posture. He inquires about the real value of life, which is called Brahma Vidyasa. In order to inquire about the ultimate goal of life, the Veda, enjoin Sat Vidyanartham, Sat Guna, Evidit, in order to understand our present life, one must go to the one called Spiritual Master. This person, Vaisya, found the first Spiritual Master, Narayana, and therefore asked him about the knowledge that if one can get out of this environment of Karma Bandhan Pasya, truly achieving. This is the real vision of human life. Jivasya Pasya Vidyasa, Narayana, just say the Karma Bandhan. As stated in the second chapter, the first chapter is in the world and the second chapter is in the world. A human only business is to inquire of a bona fide spiritual master about extrication from the entanglement of Karma Bandhan Pasya.
What are the points in this section?
The Prabhupada says that the qualification for a disciple to put into the master is discussed in the text in this
book. Anything else?
You have to reach the level of frustration so that you can come to the point.
As we see in the Bhagavad Gita also, then in order to solve the problems of life, you must approach a guru. That is the system. Without approaching the spiritual master, you cannot solve the problems of life. Therefore, every human being, as Prabhupada said, it behooves the human being to have a spiritual master. If you do not have a spiritual master, you cannot solve the problems of life. Without the mercy of the guru, without the instructions of the guru, then your problems will not be solved. So it is all Guru Krishna Prasad. By the mercy of Krishna, you get guru. By the mercy of guru, then you will reach Krishna. Otherwise, it is not possible. So the entire system of the Vedas is based upon approaching a spiritual master. And one's life becomes successful when one finds a bona fide spiritual master. That is the greatest benediction in human life, to find a bona fide spiritual master. So one who has a bona fide spiritual master, then he will attain perfection if he strictly follows the teachings of the spiritual master. Prabhupada says that the instructions of the guru are the pride of the disciple. Prabhupada says the instructions of the guru are the life and soul of the disciple. Yeah. So this is how you attain perfection, by following the Guru's instructions. If you do not follow the spiritual master's instructions, you will not attain perfection. Yasya prasadad, bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan, na gati gatopi. If you please Guru, you will get Krishna's mercy. If Guru is not pleased, you will not get Krishna's mercy. It is the simple, that is the simple fact. Spiritual life is based upon these simple facts. Therefore, Bande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. I surrender to the Lord's feet of my spiritual master. This is the secret of success. That was Prabhupada's own success. Prabhupada's own success was that he was a perfect disciple. The best disciple becomes the best guru. So one who perfectly follows the spiritual master, then he becomes qualified to then become a spiritual master himself. That is the qualification. And by following the guru, then we will also become perfect by the mercy of the spiritual master. So, the king, he received the blessing of having Narada as his guru. And therefore, he is able to attain perfection. We can also attain perfection by associating with personalities like Narada, and by personally associating with our own spiritual master. This is how. So the whole system is that you must find a bona fide guru. If you cannot find a guru, then your life does not become successful. It should not be, how do we say it, like, under... estimated or... I'm trying to think, what's the word? It should not be understated anymore. Sometimes, especially in the modern day, people are trying to de-emphasize the importance of following a spiritual master. They're saying it is not so important to follow a spiritual master, or the spiritual masters are not so qualified. So people are always trying to de-emphasize the system of guru-shishya. But we understand from Prabhupada's pastimes that on May 28th, in 1977, Prabhupada said to his disciples, he said, if you have any questions relating to when I am no longer with you, please ask them now. Because it appears that I will be leaving this world shortly. So the devotees brought Prabhupada 5 questions at that time. And one of the questions was, what will be the process of initiation after you are no longer on this planet? And Prabhupada said at that time, he said, then the disciples, the followers, they will begin to initiate. And if you read through his conversations and his instructions over time, he emphasizes this point. There's one conversation, because sometimes people from a different opposing point of view, they say that Prabhupada, this was not what he intended. They say that Prabhupada was going to be the guru for all time. It would not be that Prabhupada's followers and the followers of his followers would become spiritual masters, but rather Prabhupada would be the only guru for all time from now on. So Prabhupada himself, there are conversations, there's a particular conversation, I think it's in Iran, and Prabhupada is directly asked this point by a student who is having a discussion with him, right? And he says at that time, he says, my disciples would become the next gurus. He directly says it. There's no ambiguity, right? And then this student who was very intelligent, he said, "Oh, particular disciples, like your particular disciples, will then become gurus." Prabhupada said, "No, any of them." He said, "When they are qualified, any of them." Right? So that was Prabhupada directly answered. Right? It wasn't ambiguous. It wasn't that Prabhupada was not direct about what he desired. Prabhupada desired that people take initiation from living gurus. And Prabhupada's potency is that he made his disciples qualified to become spiritual masters in their own right. And to de-emphasize their qualification is actually de-emphasizing Prabhupada's own position. Someone is saying, oh, Prabhupada is not, Prabhupada is the only guru. If Prabhupada cannot make other people qualified, then you are saying that you are actually belittling Prabhupada's position. Because Prabhupada made qualified disciples, so we should not become confused about this. We should not de-emphasize the guru's position.
The
Ritvik people are saying it right there. It is a dangerous philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you de-emphasize the spiritual master's position, then it becomes very difficult for people to advance in Krishna consciousness like that. Because spiritual life is based upon following the guru. So then they will argue that the gurus are not qualified. There's been so many problems with the gurus like that. So then they'll argue like that. You need to take shelter of the Nitya Siddha, someone who is perfect devotee like Prabhupada. So okay, maybe Prabhupada's disciples are not Nitya Siddhas, maybe they're not like Prabhupada, but Prabhupada said if they perfectly follow to the best of their ability and they are sincere, then we will get the benefit. So we should not de-emphasize the guru's position like that. I know for myself that I could not make any advancement without the blessing from my spiritual master. Not just Prabhupada, Prabhupada's follower. And because Prabhupada's follower is sincere in following Prabhupada, then if I am serving him sincerely, I'm connected to Prabhupada and then I'm connected to Krishna, but not otherwise. So we should not try to jump over like that. Even sometimes Prabhupada's disciples, when Prabhupada was on the planet, they would read books of Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada said, do not jump over me. He said, do not jump over me. Right? He said, first you study my books, then you go to Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur. Okay. So we should not try to jump over. We should not say, oh, Prabhupada is the guru for everyone in Kali Yuga. Of course he is the guru for everyone in Kali Yuga. That does not mean his teachings were that you follow his disciples. Right? And by following his disciples, then you will become perfect. That is the system. So we should not belittle the system which Prabhupada emphasized. Okay. Any points?
This is why family within King Parishana Bharata responded to Narayani. When he was a king at a supreme position, he gave 50 years to Narayani instruction, so he was not able to involve to his community. Same as Katarvanta Maharaj, he referred Ramananda as the gentleman.
Are you listening to your parents? Listening to your teacher? Listening to your kumbhan? Any other points?
There was an article in Bhakti Gaurava, this recent article, issue, talk about norm. It says that norm is an invention of Maya.
Which one is it?
Norm.
Norm.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Norm. And it's sort of photographed a book and a tie and carrying a break ticket and photos of people walking and took a photograph. And it's a conversation between the soul and Maya as norm. Maya is instruction. The purpose of your life is to conform to the norm. You follow everyone. See how everyone is wearing tie and going to do that. And that's how Maya tries to push you into the norm. So, walk for whatever is the opinion of the market, then you get pushed. If everyone says no guru, then you get pushed. Team work, not different, it's an interesting conversation.
Yes. So Prabhupada said then we should be like a snake. They will fill the hole, we will go down, and then we will enjoy the facility. So especially David Meadaswamy is emphasizing that we should whatever is popular or the norm amongst the materialists, we should take advantage of that to then introduce Krishna consciousness through that. So whatever they're saying is good, then you know, we go along, we follow that line, and then we try to bring Krishna consciousness into it. That's the thing.
You can read simultaneously, but your main reading should be Prabhupada's book. You can read the other, it's not that you can't read. Like you can read Brihad Bhagavatamrita or something. No, it's not jumping over it. You can do it, but you have to read Prabhupada's book at the same time.
Okay.
And Prabhupada's book should be your main reading. But you can read the others also. Otherwise, by the time you get through all Prabhupada's books, you might be, yeah, it could take forever. Especially the way our course is going. Yeah, if you want to finish Prabhupada's books, then go to Ganges for a good course. At least you'll get finished. Anything else?
The other thing is, I mentioned that through a process that
Prabhupada, many things. He said many things, what that means. But it means you don't change anything which you've heard. You have to follow yourself very strictly, what Prabhupada has taught.
Mm-hmm.
By doing all these things, then gradually you can become qualified. And when the DBC gives you permission, then you can take the cycle. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, well, the thing is, I think there is something that you need to do, and you can't use your mom and dad to use your children. They do not provide it and pension by their
system. Like that, but you can still you choose your guru. No. That's because of your previous karma. But choosing your guru means whoever you're attracted to, then you approach that person. So I think it's a little bit different. Okay. Those who are interested only in a so-called beautiful life, namely remaining as a householder, entangled by sons and a wife, and searching after wealth, think that such things are life's ultimate goal. Such people simply wander in different types of bodies throughout this material existence without finding out the ultimate goal of life. So, Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj from later in the Bhagavata and describes that Griha Medhi life is like a Andhukubam, which means a dark well. So, for the non-devotees, when they fall into the dark world, practically they are finished. So this is what it is like. Material life is like that. Practically, when you fall in, then you're finished. So we must be very careful about our association. Because if you associate too much with the non-devotees, then you'll also get their desires. So be very careful about watching television. Be very careful about the internet, be very careful about the television and the radio and the newspapers and all these things, because they will attract you and convince you that the material way of life is good, but actually it's a dark well. They don't realize it, but they're in a dark well. Now Prabhupada says in the second paragraph that our family business is preaching. So there's a duty, Prabhupada said, of all saintly persons to go door to door and to liberate all of those persons who are forgetful of Krishna. You have to go down into the dark well and try to rescue them. Or you can say you have to stand on the bank and you have to throw them a rope and try to convince them to take the rope and to come out of the dark well. It's your duty to preach. Liberate your suburb or your street or your block of flats. The great saint Narada said, O ruler of the citizens, my dear king, please see in the sky those animals which you have sacrificed without compassion and without mercy in the sacrificial arena. Mahatma, do you like to read this?
Because animal sacrifice is recommended in the Vedas, the animal sacrifice in almost all religious rituals. However, one should not be sacrificed simply by killing animals according to the actions of the scriptures. One should transcend the ritualistic ceremony and try to understand the actual truth, the purpose of life. Narada Muni wanted to instruct the king about the real purpose of life and invoke his spirit of renunciation in his heart. Knowledge and spirit of renunciation, jnana, vairagya, are the ultimate goal of life. Without knowledge, one cannot become detached from material environment, and without being detached from material environment, one cannot make spiritual advancement. Karmis are generally engaged in some gratification, and for this end, they are prepared to commit so many sinful activities. Animal sacrifice is but one such sinful activity. Consequently, by his mystic power, Narada Muni shows him for his bharata. To get animals, he has sacrificed. So Narada Muni could show that he has seen whatever animals he has killed.
Prabhupada emphasizes in the first verse that if one is practicing real bhakti, then the result will be one will develop genuine jnana and vairagya. Mm-hmm. One will get real knowledge and one will become detached or renounced from the material world. This is a symptom of if your bhakti is being practiced properly. Because if you're practicing your devotional service properly, you should be feeling detached from the material energy. And you should be developing realizations of Krishna. So all of this is taking place when one is sincere. If you're practicing the type of bhakti which is then described in Srimad Bhagavatam, then this will be the result. And you'll become purified of your attachment to this material world. Any points?
Yeah,
no, I can't understand everything Prabhupada's saying in this purport. Like that. A little, seems like a little contradictory. Prabhupada even says in the purport, he says it sounds contradictory. But I couldn't work out why Prabhupada was speaking like that. Get a point? Okay. So now, next page. All these animals are awaiting your death so that they can avenge the injuries you have inflicted upon them. After you die, they will angrily pierce your body with iron. Horns. Mm-hmm. So, Prabhupada says in this purport, at the end of the purport, he says, six people are connected with the killing, are responsible for the murder of the animal. Mm-hmm. So we must understand this Vedic science. Right? Six people are implicated when the animal is killed. Prabhupada says, the person who gives permission for the killing, that means the government.
Yes.
Right? The government is responsible because they're not stopping. They're not closing the slaughterhouse. So they also have to take the karma. Right? The person who gives permission, the person who kills, which means the man in the slaughterhouse. Right? The person who helps, that means the man who picked up the animals and drove them to the slaughterhouse. And then the person who does whatever work he does in the slaughterhouse. The guy who actually kills. The guys who deliver all this flesh to the butchers, like that. Safeway, the people who sell it. Everyone who is connected along the way, they have to take one stick. Okay? The person who purchases the meat. So people always say this. I don't eat it, I just buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you take one stick. Right? You brought it, I don't eat it. But my children eat it, so therefore I buy it. No, but you get one stick of the karma. The people are in ignorance these days, they don't understand. The person who cooks the flesh, just like you hear, just like the other day, one lady, she said to me, she said, all the men, I'm vegetarian, but all the men in my house eat meat, so I cook it for them. So then you're getting one stick of the karma, not you're getting equal karma to what they get. The people in ignorance these days, they don't understand about this. And then finally, the person who eats it. All six get equal. Equal. Yeah, or the six groups. Yes, I mean, a six each.
So the person who commissioned to kill the animals and person who cooks also are these the next very good.
Everyone gets it, yeah. Prabhupada says six categories. Right? Person who gets permission means government. Right? Person who kills, person who helps, means any transport, anything which is there. Person who buys it, person who cooks it, person who eats it. Right? They all get implicated.
The person who transports that can be part of his job is working.
Get another job.
Get another job.
What's that?
There's virtually no job except staying in the farm. There's no job in the corporate world because we are developing information systems for these companies so that they can transport these animals faster, the supply chain management. So whichever way you look at it, or networking, whatever field you are in, it's indirectly somewhere or the other, we are all missing indirectly.
When we come to the farm. One day all of you will take me seriously. Right? One day finally the penny will drop. One day. Right? When we get to Canto 12, then you'll all go, oh, that's what the Bhagavad Gita was about.
Could I ask somewhere that because varying degrees of say vegetable equal, I think I
as far as I understand, it's equal from what I've heard.
Because it's demand and supply. The important thing is that the demand and then the whole thing is expressed. The person who eats it has got maximum.
So the way I understand it is that all six get equal. That's what I've heard described. So at least do not be directly, you know, like you said, there's practically no job these days where you're not connected something, but you know, at least don't get into the job which you know, don't go and work for McDonald's or don't go and work for whoever. But at least, you know, there's a fault in everything these days.
In the first, you said that one degree of animals are waiting to again, under one
section
they
didn't
retain the body,
but
how is the
way? Don't worry about it, just can't hurt yourself. Don't worry about it. It just means that the person suffers, that's all it means. Don't worry about that. Yamaraj will take care of that. You don't have to worry, but the person suffers. When we get to the fifth canto, which we'll do next year, then you'll hear about the description of the hellish planet. You will not even be able to sleep at night.
So
we give
one question. Oh, mother. They cook the meat at home.
No, it's okay. You won't get karma for that. You won't get karma for that. It's okay.
Okay.
Maybe you can stick their finger with the needle or something. Just like one of my friends, she's osteopath. She's devotee. She's osteopath. And
what's osteopath?
Osteopath means like chiropractor, osteopath, physiotherapy, like this kind of skill. And one man came to her, and like before she starts the treatment, then she asked questions like, you know, what do you do and what is your work and how did you give yourself this back injury and all this. So the man was saying something like he killed pigs. That was his job or something. And then she said, oh, just one moment, I have to do something. So she went out and she said she nearly felt like vomiting. It made her feel sick. He said, oh, how can I treat this person? Because he's doing some simple activity. So she came back in, and normally she does like, she touches, and she, you know, bends your back and makes all the... She said she did not feel like touching him because she felt too much like simple activity. So she said to him, you should do this posture. So she said, bend down, do this one. and do this one and move this way and do that. And then she said she was really pushing him, so he was in a lot of pain. Like he was going down and doing this posture, and he's like, oh, it's hurting so much. And she goes, no, go further, go further. Because she said he was so, like, it was, he was performing so much simple activity that she was just feeling her mind was too disturbed by all the simple activity. You think better you suffer, better you get rid of some of your karma. I'm not saying you should do like this, but I'm just saying this is what she did. She said it was too much disturbing in her mind.
We are told that people, few of them I know, they don't have any opportunity or they don't have any money. People have this knowledge, what we have. Well, that happens to be there, and that's true. So
try to take them through with profiles and crossways and give them the higher tech. Give them some of your wife's thoughts. Hey, you know that chocolate cake you made? Is that the same one you made for Jake on his birthday? You gave me the little cupcake? That was really fire, ain't it? Okay. It's even better than the gula. Yeah, it's really good. If you have any more, then you just... Because Beta Prabhu was in Melbourne last week. She was cooking for Prabhu Vishnu Swami. So I was doing tapasya at the farm by myself. I was the only one there to eat all the stuff. Big tapasya, you know. See how it's gone for that? Not one cake was left. In this connection, I wish to narrate an old history connected with the character of a king called Puranjana. Please try to hear me with great attention. So Narada is instructing the king, and now he's telling the story of Puranjana. Puranjana is allegorical. It's not really someone called Puranjana, but it is an example which Narada is using. Actually, he's talking about the king. But, you know, you can't say, like, if you're preaching to someone, you can't say, you're like this. You know, you say, oh no, there's like this person, he's like this. And when they're listening, they think, oh, I'm like this also. Mm-hmm. You know, so now he's saying, this is Puranjana Maharaj. He doesn't actually exist. It's allegoric. It's example. This expert of Narada is using this. It's a very nice instruction, especially for grihasthas. This section is very beneficial. Hands up if you're a grihastha. Okay. That's good for us. A few of us here are in the dark world. Okay, one more verse and then we'll finish. My dear king, once in the past lived a king named Puranjana, who was celebrated for his great activities. He had a friend named Abhijata, the unknown one. No one could understand the activities of Abhijata. So who is Abhijata? Very good. How did you work that out? That's brilliant. So Puranjana is the material body. Right? Puranjana. If you read the purple Prabhupada, it doesn't mean the material body is Puranjana. He's saying King Puranjana. Right? So this is the material body. And Abhijata is his friend. This is Paramatma. An unseen friend.
Right.
So this is the beginning of the analogy. Which is there. Okay. So as we go through, then we'll see. It'll become more and more elaborate. Narada will give more and more examples. If you read the purport in text 9, Prabhupada explains what Puranjana means. So you can read it. That can be your homework for next week. Okay. Such an elevated audience. Okay, so we'll see you next week. So Monday is the exam. Starts at 7 o'clock in the theatre. On Tuesday night we'll have class. We'll continue. The following week, Guru Jagannath and Mother Jagatrini are coming, so there will not be any class the week after the retreat. Most of you aren't listening right now, so if you turn up, then that's your little brother by the key.
Yeah. Bhagavan.
Pando.
You feel this one? I'm feeling it.